been waiting for this moment. All you Luke fans out there around the world who keep tweeting me and saying, when you're playing it, don't worry, here he comes, the one and only Mr. Luke Evans. Luke Evans, hello, lovely.
Hello, Gabby Roslin.
Now, here we go again.
Again.
Part three. No, but it's magnificent and fabulous, and it you're is. The hero.
I know. Still can't like, get my head around that, but yeah.
It's
yeah.
nice being the hero. You get
it
to
is.
Kill
it's really
them.
Nice, yeah. I mean, it's just such a good role. He's such a great man. And he's the unlikely hero, you know? He's not a man who's looking for the accolade of being the leader or the man, you know, that kills the dragon. He just does what he has to do and looks after his kids. And, yeah, he's a good man. He's a really good man.
And everybody else runs, but
they
you
do.
Don't.
I don't. I climb a bell tower and, yeah, see if I can get kill old Benedict Cumberbatch because he's the voice, obviously.
Absolutely. But I knew what you meant there. Yeah. Now, you filmed this 4 years ago.
Yeah, so I started 4 years ago.
So is it a bit strange talking about it now? Does it feel like something very much in the past?
Yeah, it does. And weirdly, you know, every year we are only told to talk about what the own that bit of the film. You can't talk about what else comes afterwards. And so this is the first time we've had complete free license to talk about everything, you know, because after people say, what's your favourite scene that you shot? And I'm like, in the third film, can't talk about that. I can talk about everything. So, but it does feel like a long time ago, yeah.
And was it nice just being the only human?
It was a bit. I quite liked it, yeah. Yeah, everybody kept saying, oh, did you miss not being prosthetics? I'm like, no.
Exactly. Well, I'm very pleased you looked like you. Now, aren't you the sexiest Welshman in the world?
I have no idea.
I think that's right. I love it. The sexiest Welshman in the world.
In the world. I
in
do.
The whole world.
In Wales. Just in Wales.
In Wales.
Have you been to Wales? It's not a hard thing to be.
Oh, Wales is beautiful. The only thing is what? About Wales, okay, I turned up in Llandudno.
Oh, yeah.
And there were traffic jams of scooters. No, scooters.
Quadrophenias.
No. Old people in their little...
No way.
I promise you, there was a traffic jam.
A scooter jam.
It was.
Oh.
Complete. I loved it there. Okay, now we're going to go, we're going to leave your films behind because we're going to go back to musical theatre.
Oh.
Because that's my absolute passion.
Is it?
And I've seen you in many a musical theatre because I know you didn't start in film till you were 30.
30, yeah.
So you musical
last
theater.
Year.
Yeah.
I wish.
Okay, we're going to just take you back if we may. Now, because always on this show, we seem to have a huge amount. It's a shame you're not here live because during the show, we
Wonderful.
Have the Mamma Mia cast singing live.
Amazing.
We have Horse McDonald singing live. So we also thought we'd play a little bit of this for you just to take you back. And I absolutely love this. Just wonderful. Happy Amazing. Memories?
Yeah, very.
You can sing along if you want.
525,600 minutes. 525,000 moments so dear. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in lies, in laughter, in strife. 525,600 minutes. Do you measure a year in the life? Come on, Gabby. How about love? How about love?
My day, you have no idea. That was fantastic.
What a song.
Do you miss it?
I do. Well, I miss the singing a lot. I mean, I still sing, but I miss that
tell.
Being on the stage, that live performance feeling. There's nothing like it. There really isn't. And but it's a hard business, you know. It's ruthless, actually. You know, it's I admire the theatre, musical theatre actors a lot. I know how hard it is. And yeah, maybe I'll go back one day.
Oh, you've got to. Because you did some... I mean, Taboo, I thought, was amazing piece of theatre.
Big moment for me, yeah. Yeah, it was. It was great. All new music. He wrote all that new music. Because everybody was expecting it to all be the, you know, the Culture Club back catalogue. And there's only two All the rest was brand new, and the album is stunning.
Oh, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And also, I loved Avenue. Am I right? You were in Avenue Q as
well?
I was,
yeah.
That is hysterical. I don't know why that's still not on in town.
I don't know why.
Properly funny.
It was, yeah.
So now, lots of the musicals that have been on stage, they then put them into the films. Phantom of the Opera, Evita, all of those, Chicago. Would you do that on film? I mean, Hugh Jackman did so well, of course, in Les Misérables. But you actually should have been in that, you know?
Yeah, I was. Yes. I was. I wasn't available.
Were
I
you,
was working.
Were you slaying a dragon?
I was slaying a dragon. I think. I played Chris in Miss Saigon, and I always said, even when I was in it, that it was the most filmic looking musical I'd ever seen. It just looked like a film, and it's contemporary, and it's about a period of time that we're still. We know very clearly about, and I always thought that should have been made into a film, and but I've been talking about that for years now.
Well, why don't you go and do it?
I don't know.
No, why don't you make it happen?
Cameron McIntosh needs to make it, but then he needs to also accept that Chris could be a little older than 27, maybe 35.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's fine.
Yeah,
ageless.
It's a great story, though.
But you should. All jokes aside, you probably just feel the same, which I hope you do, because you seem completely normal and excited by the musical theatre. Everything.
I am.
But you can make that phone call to Cameron and go, "Hey, Cam,
I've done it."
Oh.
I did it at.
You did.
I saw him at the Oscars last year.
Of course, at the Oscars. Silly.
Yeah, there was no problem. Oh, yeah.
And what did you say?
I said, "Come on, get on with it, Cameron, and let's make this movie." And you know, anyway, whatever. Maybe they will. I don't know. I mean, it's bound to happen. Surely, it's just such a great story.
You know, when you go home and you see everybody.
To have a bar guide.
I can't say it. What did you see? I carefully didn't mention.
Just nodded.
Yes. Yeah. Say it again.
Abba Bargoid. There we go.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Brilliant.
But when you go home to Abba Bargoid, can you sort of think, oh, there I was at the Oscars with Cameron, and there I am, you know, did all of it seem a bit surreal?
Oh, this whole thing is surreal. I mean, it doesn't feel real most of the time. It's mad. The best bit is when you can share it with people that don't do it for a living. So, like when you bring your cousins or your grandfather or your family to set, and or they meet somebody famous or something, and you introduce them and you just watch their face and you vicariously experience it for the first time again through their face, their eyes, and I took some family to the red carpet, this Hobbit, it was the green carpet, and it's one of the biggest premieres I'll ever go to, and you know I'm on that screen, and you can just see them looking around and hear my name being screamed by these fans dressed up as me, and you know, think
fans dressed up as you,
and it's mad, it's the most craziest business ever. I just, if it finished tomorrow, I'd still have had the best 6 years ever and have stories to tell.
It's not going to fit. That ain't going to happen.
But if it did, this is me being very Welsh.
Do you know what? It's so amazing is reading about you, and you got your scholarship to come up here to King's Cross to study and everything. Did you find London in the beginning also?
Well, I was a mailboy in a bank when I got that. When I got the scholarship, and I just had to leave. I left at 17, and I moved here. I didn't know anyone, and got to London. I remember when I was a kid, my mum, we'd often come up on the bus to watch the shows. And I remember, always the second you'd come into Hammersmith and you see the big billboards, you know, and they'd have whatever, advertising something. And my heart rate would go up. I used to remember my heart rate would go up and I'd be looking out the windows. And I'd never forgotten it. And you know the first person I ever saw on the street?
Who?
And I've worked with him now.
Who?
It was Piccadilly, and we were on the bus, so we were going to see Sunset Boulevard at the Adelphi, or wherever it was, and I saw Charles Dance on the street. And I went, "Mama, who's that? That's an actor, isn't it?" She was like, "Yeah, that's Charles Dance." And he was in Dracula with me, and I forgot to tell him. I only just remembered that.
Did you not tell him?
I never told him. Maybe he'll be listening
to
your
show. He'll be listening, that's it.
But yeah, it was like, anyway, so I've always loved London. It's been my home for 18 years, and they're always asking me to move to LA, and I'm just like, nope, this is my home, this is my life, and as I think that's what keeps me grounded, is all my mates, you know, and my family being close by.
LA's a strange place, isn't it?
It's a very strange place. I mean, I like the weather, and the people are lovely, I wish it was a bit sunnier here, like LA, but I don't like the getting in the car business, and that you have to drive everywhere. And if you walk the streets, people look at you strange, you know? It's like...
But it's a sort of a place full of actors. I remember going to the a posh restaurant when they were flirting with me about doing a TV show there.
Yeah.
And they took me to this posh restaurant, and the waitress, I said, I just got off the plane. I said, can I have a plate of steamed vegetables? She went, I could not have chosen better myself. It's a plate of steamed vegetables. What are you talking about?
I thought you were going to say that she pulled out a script and gave it to you. So, would you read? I mean, there is a lot of actors in LA, and I think, you know, this is quite a consuming business. Film acting, if you're lucky enough to work, and it does take up a lot of your life and takes you away from the normal life quite a lot of the time. But if you live in LA, I find when I'm there, all I talk about is film. And I forget that, you know, there is another part of my life, you know, down the pub with my friends. And, you know, and I forget all that. And I think if I lived there, I probably would just be all consumed by the industry, because it runs Los Angeles, the film industry. So I think by keeping just a healthy distance from it... gives me, just levels me out a bit, you know.
And London is a great place for that, because you can get lost in London as well.
London's just the best place on earth. I travel a lot, and I always compare it to everywhere I go, and nothing ever beats this city, so...
You know what? You just said the right thing, because this is on BBC London. Even though we have this huge listenership from all around the world, what it comes back to is London. So,
yeah,
Luke
yeah.
Evans, I applaud you! Ah. Yay! Thank you so much, my darling.
My pleasure.
Luke Evans, of course, and the Hobbit trilogy, the final part, as he was talking about, opens any minute now and is quite a magnificent film. It really is quite special. Now, we've had an incredible list of people on the show today. So, Luke, thank you very much for that. And I know he's not in country, and he said, I'm going to be listening from where I can't do Welsh accents. I'm not even going to attempt to. So, Luke, thank you very much indeed for that. The Hobbit release is December the 17th, so you've got 10 days until you can actually go and see that film. Very, very much worth